You're listening to Vatican Radio.
This is Vatican Radio. I'm Chris Ultieri. The official Journal of Affairs of the Society of Jesus in Italy, La Civita Cattolica, has released a full and clean transcript of a dialogue that took place on the 24th of October of this year, during the course and in the context of the Holy Father's visit to the delegates of the 36th General Congregation of the Society. Jesuit Father Michael Rogers is McFarland Fellow at Holy Cross College in Worcester, Massachusetts. He spent many years in Rome, and his name will perhaps be familiar to listeners, as will his voice in just a second. He spoke with me about the overarching theme of the dialogue, which moved into and out of the question of having courage and prophetic audacity.
One of the things the Holy Father places emphasis on, whatever he's doing, is reality over our thoughts, reality over just simply ways of thinking and proceeding. And one of the things we see in the document is he's talking a lot about things that he encountered when he was coming up in the seminary. Things from his Ad Audiendas course, his confession course, where he was asked to answer questions along some very strict guidelines. And one of the things he's saying is we need to take a step back from that way of thinking, that sort of overly structured way of thinking, a way of thinking which to him, frankly, is boring and dead. He actually used the word boring. I had a conversation with him just briefly once in which he used the word talking about a certain kind of theology. He said, that way of thinking is boring, because what he really wants to do is focus on reality. He wants to focus on people and what's going on out in the world. And so what he says is that the important thing for the society to do is to practice discernment, not just for ourselves, but also to teach others how to do that. He notes in the interview, for example, that he was talking with some young Jesuits in Poland during this last World Youth Day, and they asked him what they can do. And one of the things he said was, teach the church how to discern. So what that means is that in some ways we have to leave behind sort of old ways of thinking. And he talks about a theology which is dry and sterile in some places. He also talks about clericalism when he's talking about issues around money. And he says, we have to think about this in a different way. We have to think about the ways in which we can discern where the church is supposed to go. And what does that mean? He says, well, we should be seeking always the Magis, which is to say God's greater glory. So discernment is something that places us directly in relationship to God. Now, it's a formed discernment. It's not just, gee, I think God wants me to do this, or this makes me happy, so I'm going to do it. It's a place that says, for whatever reason, I, in consultation with others, usually a spiritual director, for example, or because I'm with others and we're discerning as a group, we've come to the conclusion that God is calling us to move in this direction. And we do that through paying attention to moments where we have what we call consolation in society, where we feel more alive, where we feel more drawn to God, where we feel, for example, a desire to pray. I mean, that's an obvious sign of consolation, for example. And if we have that feeling, that movement of our souls around a thing, then we know that maybe God is calling us to that. And this is based out of a basic Jesuit insight that says, something that came from St. Ignatius himself, when he was laid up in his bed, and he was thinking about how he would live his life, and he thought about going back to the Spanish court. This is way back in the 1520s, thought about going back to the Spanish court and being a courtier, and he realized it left him dry and empty when he thought about that. But when he was reading a book of the lives of the saints, particularly thinking of St. Francis and St. Dominic, and he thought, what if I did what they did? He was filled with joy and peace, and that gave him the courage to move forward. That gave him the courage to break off of an old way of life. And that's really, really important to what this is. This prophetic courage is a courage founded in the reality that God is with us and God is somehow impelling us forward. So it's born out of a relationship with God that looks to reality. And that's really important as well.
You've laid it out for us very well, but It brings to mind the person who comes and says, well, I feel very strongly in my heart a desire to do something and perhaps even a sincere belief that this is the thing that will bring me happiness. Is not a good guide. And Ignatius certainly wouldn't think that it is. We're not adrift in a sea without any sort of guidelines here, are we?
Well, there's a very important rule here, which I should have stated from the beginning, which is that we're not discerning between a good thing and a bad thing. Ignatius says if something's a matter of sin, if something's a matter of evil, that's not something we discern about. We just know that it is, and we don't do it, right? And so leaving one's spouse, for example, to marry somebody younger and more glamorous would be a clear sign of sin. That's not something we're discerning here. What we're doing in discernment is we're discerning between two goods. We might have two very good things, and one of the things that comes to mind most automatically, for example, is a young man who is discerning whether or not he has a vocation to the priesthood. He could discern to enter into married life, which is a very, very good thing. Or he could discern that he's supposed to be a priest, which is a good thing. The question is, which is the greater good, the magis, that Latin word magis, which is the greater good? Which is that thing that impels us forward? And it's not necessarily the easy and safe thing. For many young men in many cultures, for example, those are two goods. The safe good might be to go and get married and have kids and live, you know, what some might consider a normal life. But the greater good, the more courageous good for that young man, depending on where God is calling them, may well be to become a religious or a priest and live that different life. So we're not discerning between good and evil here. Ignatius is very clear on that point. When it comes to matters of sin, we don't discern. But when it comes to matters of two really good things, we have to choose the way to go. We always have to choose the greater good. And one thing that's interesting here, too, is we talk about consolation. Consolation isn't just something that we use in discernment. The Holy Father mentions in his letter that when he has to look at some of the problems in the church, some of the things that really come at him all the time, and of course, honestly, the Holy Father, we have to keep praying for him because he has the worst job in the church, in that he has to see all the things that are going on and be aware of all the things that are going on that most of us don't want to know about. But he says when he sees that, he can actually be very pessimistic. But he draws close to the Lord in prayer, and that gives him a source of consolation. It gives him the strength to move forward. So consolation is about a relationship with God as well. And since it's about a relationship with God, it's obviously not about things that would cut off our relationship with God. For example, like leaving one's spouse behind.
You touched on a couple of things. A lot of the themes that were on the table, and I think we could fairly say pretty close to the Holy Father's heart during the course of this dialogue, were themes in Evangelii Gaudium, at the end of which he calls on everyone on all of his readers, essentially on everyone in the world, to continue the conversation about how best to go about being really credible witnesses and carriers of the gospel in the world. How important is it to understand what he means by debate?
Well, you know, that's an important question, particularly right now with everything that's been going on with the last several documents. Because they've not been without debate in the church. And I think one of the things that's important here, when we're talking about debate, the Holy Father has said, of course, I want a messy church, right? He wants a place where maybe the answers don't seem so clear, but the truth is our reality, when we engage theology in reality, it doesn't always seem clear. I think we'd like to think, you know, that what we've learned in the classrooms will always give us the answers, but the truth is, and this is speaking as a priest, the pastoral realities that are put in front of you, most of them aren't in a textbook. And so it's going to be a messy church. It always is. But I think one of the things the Holy Father is saying is, let's not pretend that it's not. Let's not pretend that human reality isn't such that things are going to be confusing. Things are going to be difficult sometimes. And I think a part of the courage that the Holy Father is calling us to is to move beyond that place where we try to presume or even, frankly, pretend that our textbooks that we've read in our theology classes are going to give us all the answers. I'm a fellow at the McFarland Center, but I'm also a chaplain at a college, 2,700 students, and they're wonderful young men and women. And I can't open my moral theology textbook and find answers to all the things that they ask me sometimes. And that's a good thing, because it encourages young men and women, particularly young men and women who are looking to find their way in the world, to develop a relationship with God, to develop a deep-seated place where a wellspring, if you will, they can always go back to, a place they can always go back to figure out how to move forward, to figure out where God is calling them, to figure out, or frankly, just to remember that they are loved by a God who loves them so passionately that he loved them into existence. And that's really important. And I think, as to the matter of debate, you know, when we think about debate, what the Holy Father wants to call us to is discernment. We can look at all of these good things, and certainly, you know, as he mentions in this moment, he says, you know, he learns scholastic theology, and he said the scholastic theology isn't a bad thing, but at some points it becomes decadent. So how do we discern what's there and say, okay, this is wonderful, how do I apply this to reality? And I think that comes through in discernment, and I think that's what's really, really important here. You know, I think the other thing, touching on the theme of Evangelii Gaudium, which strikes me in this document, which is something we also see even before he's the Holy Father in the Aparecida document, the idea of missionary discipleship is still very clearly here. But what Francis is doing is he's saying, it's because we're disciples, and he's saying this for himself, it's because he knows and loves Christ, especially when you see him talk about consolation. Because he knows and loves Christ, he's able to do what he does and push forward. And it's that following of Christ that allows us to discern where we should go in the world. And so I think that's also an issue of the debate here, right? The place of debate is important because it helps us figure out what's going on. The apostles certainly debated. We know this. After the ascension, we know that, and even after the descent of the Holy Spirit, we know that there was a council at Jerusalem where Paul and Peter debated. And that's not a bad thing. But in the end, the other thing that we have to realize is this is not about debate. It's not about winning political points, but it's about discernment as a church. How do we move forward? And how do we continue to be missionaries to the world while we as disciples are still figuring out exactly what it is to follow Christ?
That was Jesuit Father Michael Rogers speaking with me, Chris Altieri.
You're listening to Vatican Radio.